Today is day 35 of our 40-day prayer challenge. And how many of you would say it's been good to be part of this prayer challenge? God has ministered, encouraged, and blessed you. Well, we ask a few people about to give us some feedback concerning their participation in the 40-day challenge. Watch this.
How's the 40 days of prayer been going for you so far?
It has been awesome. It has definitely been a challenge because to do that day in and day out is not something that we're all normally used to. You know, we're used to praying, but to pray for one specific goal has been a challenge.
I think it's been amazing.
It's definitely been a very challenging series, but it's also been very life-changing. I've already seen God do amazing things in my life, and I can't wait to see Him do more.
Everything in the Draw the Circle book was just really good. I feel like it's speaking to me directly, just about how we can't control everything in our life and just letting God control our situations and giving it over to Him. So it's been really helpful for me.
Actually, things are going really well. In these first 40 days of the year, I've been taking the time to realize that I'm going to say that this year is the year of the day, to where I'm not going to worry about tomorrow or in the past, but I'm going to focus on today. And that helps me with my prayer time. And so I've actually noticed some things in my life just kind of not really being an issue like they used to be. And I don't really even think about them. It's kind of like God's just smudging them away.
And where's your favorite place to have your own personal prayer time?
Probably in my car when I'm driving to places.
My favorite time is in the morning before anybody in my house gets awake so that it's truly a quiet time.
I go in my room, I close my door, and I shut my closet, and I just sit in there, and I pray because I can be as loud or as quiet as I want, and no one will really bother me.
I think it's important to try to pray at a specific time because it gets you in a routine of doing it every day.
Well, this may sound funny, but I like to pray at the funeral home. That's my job where I work, but it's quiet there, and nobody else is there but me and God, so that's a good place to do it.
And has God been showing you anything in particular that you would want to share with your church family, anything that's really stuck out to you, any of the lessons from the days or anything like that?
Well, I've been praying about career change. I'm not sure, first of all, if it's supposed to happen. And second of all, if it is, what direction exactly I'm supposed to go in. There are a couple different things that I've been thinking about. But God is constantly showing me in different areas of my life, whether I'm at work or outside of work, just little non-specific things. That He's showing me, just reminding me that He does hear my prayer, that He will answer it. I think it's going to be a journey. And sometimes I think it's easy to get lost when you don't get answers right away. It's easy to get discouraged or forget. It's easy to lose focus. But I feel like He's showing me these little reminders along the way to just let me know that He hears me and, you know, He will bring the answers.
Yeah, that I'm capable of doing things that I never thought that I'd be capable of doing because I think I was giving way too much credit on myself and not enough on God. And now that things have kind of switched up, here I thought it was going to be this journey through the mud and it's going to be terrible, but it's really been kind of instant. It's been really great.
He's just told me that we don't have because we don't ask. And sometimes we have to press through and just make sure that we're connecting with God with our prayers and our requests.
Right after we started our 40 days of prayer, my daughter, one of my daughters, she cut her leg really, really seriously. And the Lord laid it on my heart after it happened. She had to be hospitalized, and she had to go back to the hospital for 3 days for antibiotics and everything. And the Lord specifically told me, you are to pray specifically for this each day. And I said, all right, that's what I'm going to do. So every day, sometimes I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would have this on my heart and I would pray. And it wasn't the length that I prayed, but I did pray specifically. Well, I have wonderful news. She is healed. This was an open wound for many weeks and now it is closed. And I give God the praise.
Amen. Would you give God praise for those testimonies? Amen. If you have a Bible, I want you to go to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel's in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 10. There are notes in your bulletin that you can use to follow along here today. I heard a pastor say this past week, if you're not taking notes, you're not growing. So there you go. There's your challenge. If you're not taking notes, you're not growing. So I encourage you to take some notes here today. The goal of the 40-day prayer challenge is very simple. We want to help you create the regular habit of praying. And I hope at this point, we're on day 35, that you have begun the daily habit, that you have a time and a place. Now, I want to encourage you, if you've not yet joined us, it's not too late. Why don't you join us for this last week of just praying at least once a day in this last week of the 40-day prayer challenge? Maybe you started, but you've been inconsistent. The encouragement to you is don't give up. Because how many know this is the single most important thing you can do? I'm going to say that again. This is the single most important thing that you can do. Develop a daily prayer habit, because prayer affects everything else. It affects your family. It affects your finances. It affects your relationships. It affects your future. It affects your children, we learned last week, right? It affects everything else. So if you want to put first things first, make prayer your first habit. I want to encourage you to join your small group tonight at 6 o'clock as we continue to learn about prayer using the Circle Maker curriculum. Don't miss out on your small group tonight as we learn how to pray together as well. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. I want to talk to you this morning about stop, drop, and pray. Now, this is the last message in this series, because next Sunday, we're going to have with us a very special guest, Mark Cahill. He played basketball with a few famous people named Charles Barkley, Michael Jordan, and he is a crazy man when it comes to sharing his faith about Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you right now. You should bring about 10 people with you to church next Sunday. It's going to be that good. He was here last summer. How many remember Mark Cahill being here? An incredible time. I encourage you to be here next Sunday. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. This is an angel speaking to Daniel. He says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." And for whatever reason, whenever angels show up, their first words are, "Do not be afraid." Apparently, we need that. That kind of conditions the conversation. Don't freak out. "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to them." Now watch this. An angel said, "Daniel, from the first day that you prayed, your words were heard in heaven, but I've just now come." Verse 13, "But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." Now let's pause for a moment, and I want you to imagine having a conversation with your guardian angel. Because that's what Daniel is basically doing here today. He's having a conversation with his guardian angel, and he's talking to him. Now, how many know your conversation with your guardian angel in heaven is probably going to be pretty interesting? Right? Now, for some of you, in the way that you drive, your conversation is going to be very long, right? And they're going to talk, you're going to say, and he's going to say, "Hey, remember that? Yeah, that was me." Okay? It's going to be an interesting conversation. And I'm sure Daniel's guardian angel may have had a few things to say about that night in the lion's den, you know, and the stuff that happened. Pretty interesting stuff. But in this scripture, the angel gives a vivid picture and insight into the spiritual realm that we don't see anywhere else in the Bible. A picture of what happens when we pray. A picture of how prayer works. A picture of the spiritual realm when it comes to praying. Now, we know the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemies are not each other. Our enemies is not the church. Our enemy is the enemy, Satan. Demons, principalities, and powers. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but this encounter gives us a vivid picture of that. The angel in this story reveals the importance of praying through. The importance of not giving up after you've prayed just once, after you've prayed twice, after you've prayed a few times, after you've prayed 20 days in a row. The angel gives a picture of how prayer works and how prayers are processed, because Daniel's prayer was heard in heaven. On the first day, it passed through his vocal cords. But it wasn't until the 21st day that he experienced a breakthrough, because there was spiritual warfare going on in the atmosphere. We've got to understand that today, right now, there is spiritual warfare happening all around us. And when we pray, there are forces that are opposing your prayer. There are forces that are coming against you so that your prayers will not be answered. So, now listen, we can't help but ask the question. What if Daniel had stopped praying on day 20? The angel says, I heard the prayer on day one. The answer was sent from heaven on day one, but I've been detained these 21 days. What if Daniel had stopped praying on day 20? Well, we know just like the children of Israel circling Jericho, if they would have stopped on day six, or if Elijah had stopped praying at six times for rain, guess what would have happened? They would have forfeited their miracle. Are you with me here today? Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't just give a little bit. Come on, somebody, right? Listen, if you stop praying before your breakthrough, you're going to forfeit the miracle that God has for your life. And some of you are saying, Pastor, I've been praying for 35 days now. Praise God. Let's keep it up until the answer comes. Pray until something happens. We get two simple points here today from this text. Daniel, number one, shows us the power of a consistent prayer life. And number two, Daniel shows us the power of a consecrated prayer life. Let's look at this first one. Daniel shows us the power of a consistent prayer life. Now, how many know that Daniel ranks as probably one of the most brilliant minds the ancient world has ever known? He had this unusual excellence in both science and philosophy. Some people think that if you're going to be a Christian, you have to check your brain at the door. Somehow you have to lay all of your intellect down. And the Bible shows us here in the book of Daniel that is absolutely untrue. You can be gifted in science, you can be gifted in philosophy, and have full faith in Jesus Christ and follow him with all your heart. That was free, by the way. That was totally free, okay? Now, he could explain riddles. He could solve problems unlike anybody in his generation. And he could interpret people's dreams. But the thing that set him apart wasn't his IQ. It was his PQ. Not his intelligence quotient, but his prayer quotient. What set Daniel apart was his consistency in prayer and his prayer life. Daniel just didn't pray when he had a bad day. He prayed every day. He didn't just dial up 911 prayers when they threw him in the lion's den. Come on, somebody. Prayer was part of the regular rhythm and routine of his life. Prayer was his life. Daniel was a consistent prayer. We see it in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. The Bible says he went to pray in an upstairs room in his house, which had windows that opened toward Jerusalem. Three times each day, Daniel would kneel down to pray and thank God. Now, here's the most important part of that verse. Just as he always had done. Now, at this point, remember, there is a decree given by the king that you couldn't pray to anybody else except the gods of that country. And Daniel says, I'm going to do what I've been doing, just as I always have. I want you to notice in this verse some very key components to building the habit of prayer, because Daniel had a consistent prayer life. How many are testifying? I'm raising my hand. I would like to have a consistent prayer life. Raise your hand real high. Okay, I'm looking for the altar call participants here in just a minute. All right. I would like to have a consistent prayer life, because if you can build a consistent prayer life, your life will be forever changed. I'm going to say that one more time. If you can build a consistent prayer life, your life is changed. It'll be different. We're going to see that from Daniel's life here. But look at Daniel's habit of prayer. He had a place. The scripture, look at that. Where was his place? An upstairs room in his house. Daniel had a place every day that he went to pray. And Daniel had a time. Oh, he didn't have one time. He had three times each day that he went to this place to pray. Do you see this? So he had specific times every day, he had a specific place every day, and Daniel had a particular method of opening the windows toward Jerusalem so he could pray about that. Talk about praying long. He's praying about a country that God had already told him that he would never see again. And yet he still believed the promises of God, even though he knew it would come to pass after his lifetime. Come on, somebody. I mean, no, that's faith. So he has a place, he has a time, he has a method. Now, the key to building a consistent prayer life is you have to have a place and you have to have a time. So let me ask you this question. Where is your prayer place? So answer it to yourself. And then the second question is, when is your prayer time? Now, if you can't answer those questions specifically, what time is my prayer time? What time is my prayer? What place is my prayer place? Let me be blunt with you. Do I have your attention yet? If you can't answer those questions, you won't keep praying. The 40-day prayer challenge will be over, and you'll say, well, that was good. What's next? Oh, that was a nice little series we did on prayer. God did some good things. What's next, Pastor? Come on, somebody. That's not the goal of this series. That's not the goal of this season. The goal is to us to build a consistent and habitual prayer time. Because if you can't answer the question, when is my prayer time and where's my prayer place, you're only going to pray when you feel like it. You're only going to pray when Pastor Wayne gets up and provokes you. You're only going to pray when you have a problem. And we can't do that. God wants us to walk with him every day, talk to him every day. Come on, somebody, right? So we've got to do this. Now listen, there's a painting. Let me illustrate this. There's a painting at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C. that is a larger-than-life portrait of Daniel in the lion's den, and it's painted by the Flemish artist Sir Peter Paul Rubens. Now, if you look at this picture, forget about his face, because I'm not sure what's going on with his face, but I want you to look at Daniel's physique. He is ripped. He's got some muscles, right? He looks like he's been working out, right? Now, how many know? Now, I'm not sure if that's an accurate depiction of exactly how Daniel. I've seen other pictures that he doesn't look like that, but it illustrates my point, so I'm using this picture. How many know you don't get ripped like that doing curls every once in a while, right? You know, man, I'm gonna look like Paul Sopke. I borrowed Paul Sopke's dumbbell here today, and I made sure I asked for the lightest one so I could actually do this, you know, because I'm not where Paul is. But man, if I want to look like Paul Sopke, I can't just say, well, man, for the next 5 days, I'm going to do this, and whenever I feel like it, I'm going to work out. That's not going to work, right? If you're going to have physical strength, you got to make the regular habit of working out and lifting the dumbbells. I'm trying to reach out to some guys here or even some ladies who say, yeah, that's right, Pastor, right? Listen, it's the same way with your prayer life. Come on, somebody. It's all about consistency, because how many know we don't, you know, it's one thing to look like that on the outside, but how many know we want that to be the picture of our spirit man? I want my spirit man to be ripped. I want my spirit muscles to be strong. I want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the only way that's going to happen is if every day I'm lifting the weights of prayer. Every day I'm exercising my spiritual muscles, right? If we're going to be that way. And that's what Daniel did. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, even when King Darius outlawed prayer. He made a consistent effort of praying. Now, I'm going to show you 3 things that happen when you are consistent in prayer. Write these down. The habit of prayer, number one, brings Daniel supernatural favor. When you make a habit of prayer, God will bring to you supernatural favor. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, the NIV says, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, Daniel's story is one of the most unlikely rises to power in political history. How does a prisoner of war become prime minister of a country? Because that's what Daniel was. Daniel was taken prisoner from Jerusalem, taken to a foreign country. This prisoner becomes prime minister of the country that took him captive in the first place. How does that happen? Only God can do stuff like that. The ascendance of Daniel defies political science, but it defines the power of a prayer life. Prayer invites God into the equation. Prayer invites God into situation. And when that happens, all bets are off. Anything becomes possible because now God is part of my life. I mean, no, it doesn't matter whether it's the locker room or the boardroom or the classroom. It doesn't matter if you practice law or medicine or music. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are. But if you will stop, drop, and pray, then you're never going to know where you're going to go or where you're going to end up or what's going to happen. But your life will be a great adventure of following Jesus Christ, following the Holy Spirit, and you will never regret the road that he takes you down. Daniel chapter 6, verse 14, the Bible says the king wanted to save Daniel, and he worked hard until sunset trying to think of a way to save him. He had so much favor with the king, the king was trying to figure out how he can undo what he said. Daniel 6, 28, Daniel was successful during the time Darius was king and when Cyrus the Persian was king. So it wasn't just one guy that he was buddies with. The Bible says that every king that was there, Daniel had favor with them. Listen, if you will pray consistently, please hear me. If you will pray consistently, then Daniel's testimony will be your testimony. What was Daniel's testimony? God was with him. And you know what? I want that to be my testimony. I want it to be said of me, God was with him. God was with him. You want it to be said of you and your children, God was with him. Is that your heart's cry? That's my heart's cry. God, be with me. Now listen, this is a very important principle. If you'll walk with God, he'll walk with you. If you show up for God in the private place, he'll show up for you in the public places. Come on, somebody. He'll give you favor. The favor of God will rest upon your life. The habit of prayer, number two, brought him supernatural vision. Supernatural vision. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel. Now, we know the word revelation from the book of Revelation, right? But did you know that the only the book of Daniel contains more spiritual revelation about the future than any other Bible in any other book in the Bible except the book of Revelation? When you study prophecy, you're going to read Revelation, you're going to read the book of Daniel. Daniel was a person of powerful revelation. Can I tell you that consistent prayer brings revelation? I'm talking about being able to see things that other people can't see. I'm talking about having spiritual eyes. When you begin to pray, God develops your spiritual vision. And when other people see through eyes of fear, you see through eyes of faith. When other people see obstacles and problems, you see a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or even imagine. When other people see trials, when other people see problems, when other people see challenges, you see opportunities. You see a way for God to show himself strong. You see a way for God to get glory out of all of this. Come on, somebody. That's what happens when you consistently pray. Talking about spiritual vision, spiritual perspective. That's why prayer is such a qualification for leadership. Can I go ahead and challenge you? If you're going to be a leader in the body of Christ, you've got to be a person of prayer, because you're not going to be able to see things that other people see. Or you've got to be able to see in the spiritual realm. You've got to have eyes that see. How many parents would like to have spiritual revelation concerning their children and grandchildren? In the future, in your job, and be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Can I tell you that as you consistently pray, your tuner, I mean, when you tune the radio, you get a little bit better reception concerning what's happening. How many know the more you pray, the more fine-tuned your ears are to the voice of God? You'll hear things and see things that other people can't see or hear. Amen. Number three, the habit of prayer brought Daniel supernatural protection. Supernatural favor, supernatural vision, and supernatural protection. Daniel 6, verse 22, my God sent his angel to close the lion's mouths. They have not hurt me because my God knows I'm innocent. I never did anything wrong to you, O king. King Darius was very happy and told his servants to lift Daniel out of the lion's den. So they lifted him out and did not find any injury on him because Daniel had trusted in his God. So here Daniel is in the lion's den. He's there because he's falsely accused. They concocted a trap to get Daniel arrested, and they did. And he's thrown into the lion's den simply for following Jesus, simply for being faithful to God. And the Bible says that Daniel prayed, and God sent angels to shut the lion's mouths, to protect it. Somehow, some way, God protected Daniel from these lions. Now, some people will say, Pastor, well, maybe the lions weren't hungry. Maybe they had already eaten a snack, a Scooby snack. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't use that illustration in the next service because dogs, never mind, sorry. But if you continue to read the chapter, you read how the accusers of Daniel end up being thrown into the lion's den. And the Bible says before they hit the ground, the lions were crunching on their bones. Pretty graphic, right? This was a supernatural miracle of divine protection. How many know we need to be consistent in prayer? Hear me clearly, because you can't wait until you're in trouble to pray. Don't wait until you're in trouble to pray. Now, you should pray if you're in trouble. The Bible says, call to me in the day of trouble, right? But don't wait until you're in trouble to pray. Pray now. Pray consistently. Stay covered in prayer. That's what Daniel was all about, right? Now, I'm sure that Daniel prayed with a greater degree of intensity right before he was thrown into the lion's den. Right? How many know when we pray, when we're in trouble and we got situations, we got stuff going on in our lives, we pray a little harder. We pray a little louder and a little bit more intense. So I'm sure Daniel prayed with a greater degree of intensity right before he's thrown into the lion's den. But I want you to notice that Daniel's intensity was a byproduct of his consistency. Prayer intensity is a byproduct of prayer consistency. Show me somebody who prays on a regular basis, and I can show you somebody who can pray. Oh, you're not hearing me. Show me somebody who prays on a regular basis, and I'll show you somebody who can touch the hem of his garment. I'll show you somebody that can touch heaven. Right? So we need to build that habit into our lives. Intensity in prayer is the byproduct of consistency in prayer. Now, the primary goal of this 40-day prayer challenge is to create the habit of daily prayer. Now, you may know that it takes about 40 days to create a habit in your life. So if for the last 35 days you have been praying on a regular basis, congratulations. You now have a habit of praying. So I want to encourage you, keep your appointed time, keep your appointed place, become a person of prayer. Stay in the habit of prayer. If you haven't yet, just do it. It's okay, because here's what's going to happen. Supernatural favor, I want that. Supernatural revelation, I want that too. And supernatural protection, oh yeah, I'd like to have that too. Anybody? That's me? There's 12 of us. The rest of you? How many would like to have those three things, the mark of your life? I'm still looking for people to give altar calls to at the end of the service. All right, that's what I thought. All right. Now, so how do we do that? Let me give you a couple practical suggestions for creating consistency in your prayer life, okay? Number one, one possible way to create consistency in your prayer life is to become part of a regular prayer meeting. That's kind of an old-fashioned thought, right? A prayer meeting, but we have those here at this church, okay? Tuesday mornings at 6:30, we pray, okay? Saturday mornings at 6:30. Doug, where are you at? 6:30? The guys pray. Is it 6:30? Yeah, I'll come at 6. You guys come at 6:30, okay? And then we also have a prayer guardians ministry, people who give an hour a week to pray. Now, what does that do? When I become part of a regular public prayer meeting, it creates a couple things. It creates encouragement for me, because how many know one of the best ways to learn how to pray is pray, especially being around other people who pray. If you want to learn how to pray, you need to pray beside Janie Neely. I'm just going to tell you. When she's calling heaven down, you're like, what she says, Jesus. Are you hearing me? And you're around other people who pray with passion and with faith, and that helps you, and it creates some accountability. And so after the service, we've got some tables over here, and if you'd like to say, I'd like to be part of Tuesday morning, I'd like to be part of Saturday morning, or I'd like to be one of the prayer guardians that gives an hour a week to pray, then right after the service, come over here, put your name on the dotted line. You know what's going to help you? It's going to help you be consistent in your prayer life. It's going to help you create the habit of regular prayer. Good preaching, amen. Number two, if you're going to build consistency in your prayer life, make yourself accountable to somebody about your prayer life. Invite somebody to ask you, hey, how's your prayer life going? Are you having a regular time, a regular quiet time with God? Invite somebody to ask you, and don't lie when they ask you. It could be a husband and wife. You could ask your kids. It could be a friend, it could be a coworker, it could be a pastor, somebody at church, say, hey, I'd like to invite you to hold me accountable concerning my prayer life. Maybe once a week, maybe once a month. They just ask you. I mean, no, accountability is a good thing. Our culture rejects accountability, but accountability is a good thing. And here's the third thing. A good way to develop a daily prayer habit is to use a prayer book or a prayer journal. Okay? Now, last week I was in Phoenix, and I was working on the message for last Sunday, and God gave me this idea to create a prayer book, and I'm holding it in my hands. This prayer book is just what I would call tools to pray. Okay, it has a place for you to write down your place of prayer, your time for prayer, and I've given you 10 prayer models or scripture prayer models that I would call the most common prayer models that we use at our church. When you come to our Tuesday morning prayer with me, we're going to use scripture as our model for praying. How many know the Bible is not just a book, it's a prayer book, right? And so there is an unlimited amount of prayers you can pray when you learn to use scripture. And so there are 10 of them that you can learn. You say, I don't know how to do that. Well, guess what? You got it right here. Then we've got places for you to, the 31 virtues to pray for your kids and for your spouse, you know, that we talked about last week. That's in here. Okay. So do all that. The peace of Jerusalem, how to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We've got places to pray for your neighbors, lost loved ones, how to pray for people who are lost, how to pray for your church. Let me know that was very strategically placed there. All right? And so visions and dreams and goals for your life, a place for your small group. Okay, write down your prayer request for your small group. And so you keep this and you keep it with your Bible or whatever, and this becomes your prayer book. Now, I put it in a three-ring binder because you're going to want to add stuff to it. You're going to want to say, hey, I want this to be part of my prayer book. So this is just a skeleton that you can build your prayer life on. There's only 100 of them. They're $5 a piece at the Resource Center. Okay? So that's just an idea. It's not a have to. You're not going to be unspiritual if you don't do it, but I think it might help you. Now, Daniel approached every situation, every opportunity, every challenge, and every person prayerfully. He stopped, he dropped, and he prayed on a regular basis. And how many know you can too? I said you can too. Would you say I can too? I can do what Daniel did. Go ahead and say it. I can do what Daniel did. A consistent prayer life. Now, here's the second part. I'm going to make this real quick. Daniel shows us the power of a consecrated prayer life. How many know there's power in a consistent prayer life, but there's also power in a consecrated prayer life? There were at least two critical junctures in Daniel's life where he participated in a fast. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, please give us this test for 10 days. Daniel says, don't give us anything but vegetables to eat and water to drink. And after 10 days, compare how we look with how the other young men look who eat the king's food. So the result of this 10-day fast, along with his consistent prayer life, was being put on the fast track to political power and influence. Okay, so Daniel's first Daniel fast results in a supernatural promotion. In Daniel chapter 2, he does it again. He says, at that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. So the second time Daniel does this type of fast, it was not 10 days, it was 21 days, and it ends with an angelic encounter when the angel shows up and says, don't be afraid, Daniel. I mean, no, that's called divine visitation. Same thing happened to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. You may remember that. Well, fasting opens those doors, prayer and fasting. So at critical junctures in his life, at critical junctures in our life, a Daniel fast can be very effective. It's called a Daniel fast because it's inspired by the pattern that Daniel showed, because the diet generally consists of fruits and vegetables and water. And watch this, it's done with a typical prayer goal and a typical time frame before you start. Daniel's fast was a time of consecration and concentration. He consecrated himself in this time of fasting to concentrate on a particular issue in his life. Nod your head if you're with me. He consecrated a time of fasting in his life so he could concentrate on a particular need or issue in his life. How many are with me? The power of fasting, get this, is in the consecration and the concentration. The power of fasting and prayer is in the consecration, setting yourself apart for a set amount of time so that you can concentrate on a particular need or issue. Fasting, when combined with prayer, is powerful. Fasting, when combined with prayer, is powerful. Now, this past week, I traveled to San Diego, California. And I know you feel bad for me. I met a guy in San Diego who has never seen snow in his life. I invited him to come home with me. Would you like to see it firsthand? I had no idea we'd have three more snows by the time I got back in the last 3 days. I'm not bitter at all. The pastor I was traveling with said, Wayne, we should move out here. I'm just saying. Like, I don't feel it, but man. So we're in the airport. And if you've ever been in the airport, you know that there are these moving sidewalks that you can take when you have to get from one gate to the other. And so you're walking at the same pace as everybody else who aren't on the moving sidewalk, but you're going faster, okay? It's almost like a moving sidewalk gets you to your destination faster than just the regular pace. So the people who are just walking at a regular pace over here, you're the moving sidewalk, you're just kind of going. And I love it how when you jump, get on the moving sidewalk, it kind of lunges you forward. You know, the moving sidewalk is coming to an end. The moving sidewalk is coming. Because if you don't pay attention, it's going to throw you off that thing. Fasting is the same way. It's the way to fast track your praying. It's like getting on a moving sidewalk to get to your destination of prayer more quickly. When I fast and when I pray, something happens. Fasting is a form of praying hard because fasting is harder than praying. So fasting is praying hard. And in my experience, and I know there are a lot of people in this room that can testify, it is the shortest distance to a breakthrough. Even Jesus said that some miracles aren't possible without prayer and fasting. It's the combination of prayer with fasting that unlocks some deadbolts on spiritual doors. And Jesus encourages when you pray, when you give, when you fast. So there are times that we should fast. How many are here today that would testify to the power of fasting when it comes to prayer? Raise your hand. You've seen God move in a supernatural way as a result of fasting. Keep it up, because I want you to encourage all the people before I'm what I'm about to ask them to do. See all these hands? Seas of hands, all right? Fasting and prayer works. So what I want to ask you to do to close out this prayer challenge, this 40-day prayer challenge, is to join me for the next 7 days on a Daniel fast, okay? A Daniel fast. Now, in your bulletin, there's information like this, that looks like this, that gives you details, because whenever we call a fast, people immediately want to know the rules. Tell me the rules, Pastor, so I can stretch them as far as I possibly can and still legally be part of this fast. God help us all. You know, the reality is, it's not about legalism. It's not about lists. People do need guidelines, but we're patterning ourselves after Daniel and his fat time of fasting and prayer. I actually read, I'll skip that part. Listen, the goal of a fast is to take the focus off of you and put it on God. Okay, so there are guidelines on this about what you should eat and what you shouldn't eat. But listen, don't get hung up on that, all right? The goal of a fast is to take the focus off you and to focus it on God. And the reason that fasting is it's an abstinence of food, okay? The biblical definition is an abstinence of food. So you're affecting your intake. It is not a diet. You'll lose weight. But that's not the purpose of fasting and prayer. How many are with me? Raise your hand if you're with me. It is not a diet. It's simply saying, I am going to put my body under submission. I'm going to choose to have control over my body so that my spirit man can do this. Are you with me? Well, I feel good doing this, Paul. This is awesome. Except you probably shouldn't do it with a jacket on, that's what I'm saying. And how about this? What if in these last 7 days, we're going to start tomorrow morning and we'll break it after the Sunday morning service next week? Okay, for those that want to participate. What if these last 7 days, and actually, I know technically it's going to take you to 42 days. 42 days. Can you imagine us going over the prayer challenge? What kind of church is this? Pastor, I'm looking for minimum expectations. You're probably at the wrong church. What if instead of praying once a day, you prayed like Daniel, three times a day? You stopped, you drop, and you pray during your regular meal times, where you would normally be preparing to eat or eating particular things. You take that time and you give it to God and you pray. And that Jericho that you've been believing for, what's going to happen is you're going to get on the fast track. You're going to get on the moving sidewalk and you'll be closer than ever before than seeing it come to pass. Now, when should I fast, Pastor? When I have a big decision to make, when I need deliverance or healing, when I need to get closer to God, when I need to repent or break the cycle of sin, fasting can help you do that. When I need a miracle in my life, any reason at all to fast and pray. And maybe you haven't seen your Jericho come to pass yet. But when you add fasting to your prayers, I'm believing God's going to do something great in your life. Somebody say amen. So let me be very clear. I'm challenging every man and woman. I am not challenging teenagers or kids to do this. That is not wise. They could fast some other thing. You guys can talk about that. Pastor Phil challenged our teenagers to fast a few weeks ago, some electronics and things like that. And that was good. That was really good. Can you imagine teaching teenagers to deny themselves anything? Aren't you glad we have a youth pastor that's challenging him that way? That's pretty awesome. So I'm challenging you to join us, okay? Join us in the next 7 days. Let's close this 40-day prayer challenge out, and we're going to finish strong. And really, we're not even going to finish. We're going to go to another level in our walk with God. But I want to close with this. If you receive the 40-day prayer challenge emails or texts on a daily basis, this is what you received yesterday. I want you to hear closely. We're about to pray. When the prayer meeting becomes the most important meeting, revival is around the corner. Oh, I love that. When the prayer meeting becomes the most important meeting, revival is around the corner. I want you to go ahead and thank Pastor Ed for sending out all these emails and devotionals for the last 35 days. I'm not sure if there he is. Give it up for Pastor Ed. The result of a consistent and consecrated prayer life is revival. We have no revival because we are not praying. When we pray, God will revive us. Pastor, what are you talking about? Revival. Do you mean those times when I was a kid when we had church for 2 weeks at a time? That's not what I'm talking about. The word revive means to bring life. If somebody is dying or dead, you have to revive them. And God wants to revive us. He wants to revive our church. He wants to revive your walk with God. Breathe life into you. Breathe life into our church. That's what happens when we pray. So you say, Pastor, why should I participate in this 40-day challenge? Why should I participate in the 7-day Daniel fast? Because I need a revival. Right. Amen. I'm telling you, I need it. I feel like the last 35 days have been my own personal revival. I'm just going to tell you, I'm excited about serving Jesus. I'm excited about the future. I've got faith to move mountains today. You know why? Because every day I've been praying, and God, it's good.
Come on.
Rodney Gypsy Smith was a revivalist in the 19th century. And many times when he wanted to see God do a great work, he would take a piece of chalk. He would draw a circle on the ground. He would stand in the middle of the circle. He'd draw a circle, he'd stand in the middle of the circle, and he'd say, God, send a revival and send it to the person standing in this circle. God, start it with me. I wonder if there'd anybody join me today that would say, God, start it with me. God, start the revival in my life. God, I'm gonna draw a circle on the ground. I'm gonna stand in it and I'm gonna say, God, start it in my life. Start it in my family. Start it at my house. Start it where I work. Start it with me. If that's you today, would you stand to your feet in this place? I want a revival in my own life. I want a revival at my house. I want a revival in my church. God, start it with me. Start it in my house. Start it in my life. Start it in my heart. If that's you today, would you raise your hands to heaven and would you begin to ask God, Lord, I'm standing in the circle. God, I'm standing in the circle, and I pray, God, send revival to the middle of the circle. Send revival to the person standing in the circle. God, start a revival in my life. Start a revival in my heart. Start a revival in my spirit today. If you've got your hands raised today, would you join me up here at this altar? Come on, would you press in as close as you can to this altar? We're going to consecrate ourselves to this time of prayer and fasting. Come on, press in as close as you can. Press in as close as you can. And we're just going to pray, God, start a revival with me. God, help me. Help me, oh God. Help me, oh God, to be a person like Daniel. Help me to pray like Daniel prayed. Help me to be consistent like Daniel was consistent. Help me to be consecrated.